Okay, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, beginning with verse 16. When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes, then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out that the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he will not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth neither love nor hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean, to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth, and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth, as he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living there is hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished, neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Shall we pray? Loving Father, though Solomon takes a very different look at life, almost somewhat fatalistic, Lord, we know that under the sun, many of these things do occur and happen, and that we sometimes ponder them and think of them and wonder about them, and sometimes even become obsessed with these things. Yet I pray that we will keep our heart and mind trained on you, that we might please you, our Father, and seek to glorify you with our lives, as you have instructed us in your very word. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we think about the way that Solomon approached life and the things that he studied out, he came to the conclusion that all of life led or leads to the grave, and that beyond the grave, at least as far as the amount of knowing anything here that properly was a part of our lives, has now ceased. And I suppose from the natural viewpoint, these things are true. Truly, those things that man pursues in life, which he pursues on this side of the grave, are not known on the other side of the grave. For instance, if a person has tried to gain great wealth, they cannot take it with them, and so they cannot know that wealth once they have perished. Or if a person has achieved great academic achievements, knowledge and wisdom, and maybe even prestige and standing in society, what he has known on this side of the grave, he cannot know on the other side of the grave. Or if a man has been able to gain in this world the kind of acclaim that makes one famous, and that with that status in society, that a person is respected, All of that is left behind when they are put into the box and lowered into the ground. And so from the natural standpoint, those things are true. And when we look at that, Solomon calls it vanity. He says in verse 16, "When I applied mine heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth," and then you find that somewhat of a parenthesis there, "for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes, then I beheld all the work of God that a man cannot find out, the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it." The preacher here, that as far as Solomon is concerned, he devoted himself to finding out answers. And it seems that whether we're reading in the book of Proverbs or you read here in the book of Ecclesiastes, we find that there are many wise and, we might say, wonderful sayings, even in these various places of which Solomon sought to put down his answers to life. He trained his mind, he studied, he educated himself with the things he had at hand, the resources which he was able to use. And you might say that he was in a position to do these things, whereas most people, they can only live in the subsistence of life which God has placed them in. But Solomon had the advantage, if you will, of looking at life from a great perspective. You might say he was like standing on a hill, looking down upon the various aspects of life, because he was king in Jerusalem, and that he had the wealth and the riches and the opportunity to explore the various kinds of things that came to his mind. But in the end, he realized that man is a fragile instrument in the hand of God. That man cannot rise much above what the ground will allow him, what the resources at his hand will give him. And even though he may be able to achieve certain things, yet in the end, the poor man and the rich man are going to both end up on the same level. That is a vanity to his thinking here. And so he found out that God has so ordered things, if you will, and so arranged life, that no matter how hard one tries, he does not find himself beyond where other men are at the end of life. And so, despite the achievement that man can make, death is the certain equation to life. And of course, we see people trying to defy this, this equation, the equation of death. And we might say in one particular avenue of it, we might say, yes, it's a good thing that we try to live as long as we can. We try to do the best as we can. We try to become overcomers for sickness and for various kinds of disadvantages. We ought to strive to make ourselves better and better. But yet at the same time, if one does not look at life from the true perspective that God has given to us, one can become bitter and full of envy and hatred and somewhat fatalistic. And Solomon does have a sense of fatalism in some of the things that he says here. We can't deny that. Perhaps it is because that in spite of all the wisdom that he had, he was not able to pull himself out of his circumstances, because he found himself in some areas of life that were not really very godly at all, that he allowed idolatry to creep in, and that his heart was somewhat estranged from where it should be. He was drawn away by many things. And in the end, of course, his sons did not turn out the best. And his kingdom was divided at the end of life. There were many down turns to some of the things that went on. Chapter 9, verse 1, "For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them." And so he says that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. Well, that is true. We do recognize that he saw that that those who were righteous, those who were wise, they also, even though they possessed these certain virtues of God, but whether they possessed them or not, we find the entire future is unknown and unknowable apart from God. Man cannot know his future except by the true authorship of God. And so it makes a man very uncertain in his feelings about himself if he does not add God to the equation and truly filter everything through the heart and mind of God toward man. In verse 2, "All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean, to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth, and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth, as he that feareth an oath." And so we have this sense here that man, in his plight of life, to do those things which he believes are important, unless man truly brings God into that equation, we find that things don't always go the way that they should, nor are they viewed with a great deal of certainty. And so as far as escaping death, all are going to die. And as far as the righteous and the wicked are concerned, though one be righteous and one be wicked, yet we find that to put themselves in this particular situation in life is a part and parcel to where man is under the sun. In verse 3, "This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead." Well, he talks about the evil and the madness which fall upon civilization. I don't think it takes us too much to see the reality of what he is saying there. Just in our short lifespan, which we have lived, to say nothing about the sense of history that has gone on before us, we can, of course, discern that there is a great deal of evil in the world. There is a great deal of madness, if you will, as to how people treat one another and the kinds of things that they do, and the things that they pursue in life. And he calls this an evil among all things that are done under the sun. because whether the heart of a man is to righteousness or a heart of a man to evil, we find that death pursues them both. And then we find that those who are given to evil are those who pursue it with such great pursuit that they affect themselves and they affect all people alike. In verse 4, "For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion." Well, he uses this kind of illustration. The dog was a pretty pitiful creature in that particular day in which he lived. It was kind of an animal that lived off the whatever it could find, you might say, and was subject to whatever man wanted to do to the dog. Today we kind of prize them as pets. Many people even pamper them much more than they do perhaps some other people. They treat them quite highly. But, taking the illustration given, the dog was a very low creature and the lion was a very majestic creature. And he uses this to show the contrast. But though he shows the contrast, he says that a living dog is better than a dead lion nonetheless. It's better to be living, even if you're a dog, than to be dead if you're a lion. Referring to someone who is quite majestic, maybe, perhaps, or righteous, even if you will, or powerful. If he's dead, then even the dog is better off than that person. And we do know that many people in society, of course, treat death like that. And they pursue the kinds of things that make them happy here because they think that is all that they have. And with that kind of fatalism in view, they pursue many things which are not so good for society or for themselves and which produce a great deal of hurt to people. In verse 5, "For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten." But we do have to remember that Solomon is talking on the natural plane, on the under the sun plane. And from that viewpoint, there are many who have been forgotten after they have died. No matter how much money they might have possessed, no matter how much power they might have had, no matter whether they were righteous or whether they were wicked, they have been forgotten under the sun. But not with God, of course. God is the great equalizer of all these things. Even though death comes to all men, all people, all mankind, yet we know that God is the rewarder and is the justifier of things. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, after that, the judgment. So Solomon isn't taking that into consideration here in some of the things that he is saying, simply because he has put himself in this place of judging those things under the sun. In verse 6, "Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished, neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun." And so he kind of summarizes the sense of man and the sense of the futility of life and the sense of those things which are done under the sun. And as he summarizes them, he gives a kind of a really dark and dismal view of it, that death itself overtakes all men, that whether one is righteous or one is evil, and that though man might pursue great things, yet after he is dead, though he be of the greatest, such as a lion, still the man who was living, who lives like a dog, in Solomon's view here, he said, well, he's still living, so he's better off than the one who is dead. But as we look at verse 7, we see that he comes back to this particular baseline again and again. And as he goes through the book of Ecclesiastes, we see this baseline reappear. He says, "Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works." In other places, he says things like, well, eat, drink, and be merry, because you right now you have an opportunity to do that. And those are the things God has given you to enjoy, and so you may as well enjoy those things. And so he comes back to this baseline again and again as he talks about many of these various issues that he brings up. And it is at least hopeful that he is able to bring God into the text here and to show us that God is the one who is over us, even though during life we find that there are many things that affect us in society, whether it be our station or whether it be the amount of resources that we have. There are many things that affect us. Some people according to their labor, some people according to their station. But however we are affected in life, he says, God now accepteth thy works. Now, what works is he talking about? Well, probably the works which are under the sun, as we know that God doesn't save us by our works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us. And it is also important for us to recognize in the Old Testament economy, obedience and faith were holding hands, so to speak. They were very much key words to one's relationship to God. And if there was not some true sense of obedience and faith, then works were of no value at all in a person's life. And so he brings this into the text here for us to consider. And as we consider that today, and we recognize that God means for us to live to his honor and to his glory, that God wants us to have some sense of purpose and reality to our lives that is pleasing to him, God wants us to live by faith. He wants us to trust in him. And as it is true, we each of us are looking ahead to a time when death will claim us. And we will know that after we have perished, what is there under the sun anymore? There is nothing under the sun, but there is if we know the true Son of God as our Savior, the true Son of God, and of that love and grace and mercy that God will show to us. That is where the true reality of our faith lies, is in him. And so though Solomon looks at life differently, and only under the sun, and is not looking at it from the vantage point of true faith, we find that it is behooves us to take faith in our heart and to embrace it, because God means for us to trust in him and to see the days that are ahead, which are by faith. Like Abraham, who looked for a city whose builder and maker was God, we are to do the same. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer?